Hey, Bill and Gunn, welcome to Blackball Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today, and we've got the all-star lineup. We've got Yirrlim, Kinyara and Bumi, of course, is heading to the office as we speak, but we're going to start the show because, of course, time doesn't stop for anybody. We're going to have a yarn about welcome to countries and who can speak for country and all that kind of stuff because it was quite topical in recent days. And let's take a listen to, you might have heard about some of the Anzac parades and ceremonies being interrupted, and for those who are doing welcome to countries, there was one particular incident that made the news where someone was heckling or saying, what about the Anzacs, etc. Let's have a listen to that. And then also, we're going to be discussing that and a few other things. So let's just take a listen to the incident first. So that took place there last week, and also there's been a barrage of responses from, like, let's say, non-Indigenous people, you know, white fellas. But, you know, on either side, for and against what took place. So let's take a listen to both sides here. You'll find the comments interesting.
Neo-Nazis, fuck off. I understand you're feeling emboldened and you think 2025 is your year. The media panders to you. Online content creators, my peers, often pander to you for clicks, engagement, your loyalty, which means they ultimately want your money. No one's calling you neo-Nazis. They're calling you hecklers and protesters that interrupted an Anzac Day war memorial service, interrupted an Indigenous bloke doing a welcome to country. It's Australia. Why do I need to be welcome to my own country? No matter what ceremony they perform for you, you'd probably whinge. Indigenous people could call it, enjoy your country. And the Caucasians will go, what do I need to be told to enjoy me country? This isn't the time or the place for it. They could call it, leave the country. And your smooth brain would definitely pop a fucking aneurysm. Neo-Nazis, fuck off.
So that took place there last week, and also there's been a barrage of responses from, like, let's say, non-Indigenous people, you know, white fellas. But, you know, on either side, for and against what took place. So let's take a listen to both sides here. You'll find the comments interesting.
The welcome to country which took place before the Anzac Day dawn service deserved to be booed. A welcome to country implies ownership and guesthood, with the guests being Europeans and the ownership being Aboriginals. The reason that therefore makes it incompatible with the Anzac Day dawn service is that the Anzacs didn't go and fight for Australia thinking that it was Aboriginal land. They were fighting for someone else's land. No, they knew rightly that it was theirs, that Australia, the country they created, that the people to whom they relate today have maintained it is their country, and to be welcomed to it is more than disgraceful. So this humiliation ritual of welcome to country deserved to be booed, because it's gone on long enough, and all the other means of communicating Australians' distaste with it have been exhausted. Only this sort of protest can confront it and generate the discourse we're seeing now, where veterans have openly come out and said, yep, it shouldn't be there. Some take offense with the act of booing at that service, but they should know that no one was booing the service, the ode, the anthem, the last post. They were booing this modern political addition, which is there to guilt white Europeans.
Okay, well, men, that was very, a very interesting series of events there. And but this keeps showing its head at different places. And Kinyara, it's far from settled, this business, because it's just going to keep going and going and going, because there needs to be true settlement, which has no end at this stage to the ongoing controversy.
Look, Kabuki theatre is meant to be ongoing. Kabuki theatre is one where it's they're trying to get a political message out to their own people. You know, it really is a joke and it's a farce. I'm not saying Welcome to Country is a farce, but it's how it's being performed, who's doing it, what's going on, you know. And this is Australia trying to appease Australians, and they got no right to be doing that. Now, unless under traditional protocols, which is what I talk about from before, traditional protocols is where a very senior lawman would welcome someone into their country, into their territory. What would happen in the Yidinji case, for example? Say you're coming in from the west, you know, because you couldn't get in from the east unless you come by boat, but come from the west, you know. So say Kukujungan was coming in or Kunjan was coming through their country into our country. They'd actually stop at the border. They knew where the border was. They'd actually pull up there and they'd get a white cockatoo feather. And they'd send a runner in with this cockatoo feather saying, can we come in? Are we welcome in your country, yes or no? And they wouldn't give it to a boy, for example. You know, a boy wouldn't be able to say yes or no, you can come in, or a lad. You know, these younger people who like to think they're somebody, no more. A senior lawman for that area, for that clan, had to say, yes, you can come into our part of the world. You know, yes, you are welcome in, or no, you're not. And if they come in when they're not welcome, they would have got the treatment. You know, there was literally life and death involved in this, trespassing and doing all that sort of stuff there. So it had to come from a senior lawman to welcome someone in. But he had to be in capacity, by the way. And something I'll say now, in Yidinji, and, you know, it doesn't apply to all the mobs around Australia, but in Yidinji alone, the women do not speak for country. This is men speak for country, and men actually do the welcome, you know, would welcome someone in. So we're talking about Yidinji Pacific now. So that's how it did operate. But they had to be proper Yidinji men of senior law status. They weren't just some boy who claimed to be someone. They had to be proper status and proper standing. So it's capacity and standing, who you are and what you are. So I look at this stuff going on Anzac Day. You know, look, it is a bit of a shame that probably most Australians don't understand what's going on. The Australian government is refusing to tell them what the current state of play is on the country. They're not giving full disclosure to how they got here. They know it. They know they don't have the right to be here. They know that they're trespassing on someone's territory. They know that for a fact. And it's a sad state of affairs that they are putting these people up to do welcome to country. Now, I hope the old bloke who did the welcome to country on Anzac Day had proper standing and capacity, and he wasn't there as an Indigenous Australian. Because Indigenous Australians, just like Chinese Australians, just like Pauline Hanson, she's an Indigenous Australian. She really is. All Australians are foreign. All Australians. Legally.
Legally. She's an Indigenous yes. Australian legally.
And it's the word
under
Hanson.
Their law.
Yeah, under Australian law, because her identity is created pursuant to Australian law. Just like, you know, an Indigenous Australian, their name is created or their identity is created pursuant to Australian legislation, Australian law. And all Australian stuff is trespassing. They're here without other belligerent occupants. They shouldn't be here. So I hope the bloke that did that welcome to country down there, you know, was of proper standing and capacity or not, and not acting or being seen legally through the Indigenous Australian to which, you know, there's money being paid. You know, Australia's given these some sort of compensation to go and do this welcome to country. Hang on a sec. What name's on the bank account to where the money goes? Is that an Australian name on that account, or is that a proper tribal name? Because if you're a proper tribal, you can't get an account opened up in tribal name. You can make believe it is, but it's not. It is not a proper name that's recognisable legally inside Australia. So the account that is opened up by an Australian. So they're paying Australian money to the Australian to do welcome to country. But hang on, this is not Australia's country. This is the tribal people's country, and they should be saying yes or no, you're welcome in, or no, you're not. And this is the important part.
He can switch positions between cultural and Australian identity?
At the drop of a hat, but he can't be seen in both at the same time. He can't be both. Now, when they introduce him, you know, welcome to country, oh, well, this bloke's going to give welcome to country, what name do they use? Do they use an Australian name? Because if they do, that person, that legal identity, has no right to welcome in anyone to trespass further on the territory of others because they're Australian, they're trespassing as well. This is the crazy part about it. It's all about legal standing and capacity. So when I talk about Yidinji stuff, now there are other nations that aren't patriarchal. They have the women can speak for country. But here in this part of the world, men speak for country. Now, there was a determination, not native title. This was stuff determined by Yidinji at the time, going back 2011 or 12. Determination was made by the elders. This is not some gammon make-believe native title inside Australia rubbish. This is proper elders meeting together, and we had all the mobs together, and they all signed off on the determination, women do not speak for country. That's the men role here, that men have to do it. And I was actually talking to a Yalanji woman there only a couple of weeks ago, and she said, yes, we agree, Yalanji is exactly the same. Cooker Yalanji, men speak for country. They got to go and defend the territory. When there's an argument going on, the men defend the country, not the women. Women have a role, but not in defending the land. So this is the important part, you know, about welcome to country. Who actually give that welcome to country down there? Was it proper standing and capacity? Because if it was proper standing and capacity, they wouldn't be taking money. They can't take money because they can't put into an Australian account. They're not Australian. So they should be in their proper capacity, doing this, you know, the right way. And this is what Welcome to Country is all about.
Yeah, it's a interesting area because really it's all fictitious. But it's believable because, you know, money's real for some people. And that game is a very real game to them. It's all in their mind. But the problem for, I guess, that we're trying to address here with the Sovereign Unity Government is the piece of paper that is fictitious was created by the elders and by the men in particular to sign off on. And this is what you're talking about in 2012. And that has a greater standing than any other foreign entity or genealogy or whatever it may be. Now, everyone knows that as the foreign minister for the Sovereign Unity Government, we get permission from the elders to do that. My dad is not Yidinji. I can say that absolutely clearly right now. I know who my father is and my blood doesn't lie. And I know whose father is Bumi's father, for example, through genealogy and maps and all those things. So I'm not going to pretend that I can talk for tribal law because I can't. However, if the tribe asks me my opinion on something, I will give them an honest opinion, and they better not ask me the question that they don't want an answer to, because I'll tell them the truth. I can't mislead them. So this is a very important protocol that needs to be reinforced. Murumu, that piece of paper, is 100% backed by the Yidinji Nation. It is there to represent the Yidinji Nation because Australia cannot represent the Yidinji Nation. Does that make sense?
Oh, look, it absolutely does. Because going back to these conferences, you know, before the government was even thought about, you know, this was going on for 2 or 3 years. We were doing the rounds, me and Gunjarabai. We were doing the rounds to go and see all the mob at the time to educate them, to bring them up to speed on this. And look, there are some that don't want to be part of it, and that's fair enough. They want to be Indigenous Australians, and they get the benefit of the money, the whatever they get. So they can have that. But they can't be in the sovereign world, the entity that says, oh, what was it all real about? Oh, coexisting sovereignties. You want to be Australian, but you want to be over there. You know, you're not coming over to the other side. You don't want to come over to the other side where your real ownership is. You know, this is the sort of stuff that people don't understand. How simple is this? But this was done well before the creation of the government. And these elders, you know, were meeting, and look, sadly, some of them have passed away, and you know, great respect for their spirits that are still there, because people don't realise the spirits are still there. They want to go out and act against these spirits, well, those spirits will come back to punish those people who do so. You know, we won't see it. It's not, revenge is not ours to get, but that's the spirits' role to do. Revenge is theirs, not ours. But they don't understand. Simply, they don't understand. Like this lad doing the Welcome to Country down there on Anzac Day. Did he realise that he was acting as an Indigenous Australian, or did he act in his proper capacity? I hope he did. Same with the woman that gives some speech as well. I hope she understood the protocols and the laws. I don't know their laws and protocols, so I won't comment on that, other than I hope they acted in the right capacity. So I can't say yes or no that they did the right or wrong thing. It's not for me to judge them. That's their tribe, their mob, their nation to judge their thing. But Indigenous Australians, of which Pauline Hanson is one, I'll keep saying this to the day I die, she's an Indigenous Australian. No ifs, no buts about it. All Australian identities are created pursuant to Australian legislation, so they are all Indigenous to Australia, but not to our country, not to the neighbour's country, and no one else's.
Yeah, when I hear you talk about Australia, I immediately think of country, and it's not. You're not talking about country.
No. We're not talking about Australia geographically. We're talking about Australia territorially, what they claim is theirs.
Claim.
What they claim, and that's it. And they now know, because it's been told to us in no uncertain terms over the last 4 or 5 years, that Australia can't prove how they claimed the place. They've got no standing at common law, international law, nothing. They've got no claim over the territory. It's up for us now to stand up and do the right thing and not be Indigenous Australians. We've got to go back, like Yidinji, for example, is a really good example. I know the law is inside out on most of this. men speak for country, but you've got to have direct connection from the male line. You can't have that speaking for country that's been interrupted by a marriage out. You can't come back through the female side unless you're adopted in. Now, we'll go back a couple of years, go back 10 years. There's a classic case up on the table end where one of Gunjarabai's sisters had married someone from Darnley Island. Up there, with the minute she married him, she walked out of Yidinji law and she entered into Darnley law. She was, the marriage is where the woman goes. So she married a bloke from the islands. So she had to be adopted back in, and he had to be adopted into the nation back in by Gunjarabai. Come in, you're fully adopted. Go and do the tribal stuff out in the bush. Not just some make-believe gammon stuff, oh, you're one of us now. No more. This was proper. Come in. You're going to be adopted in properly. Brought the male in, brought the man in, and then brought his sister back. His sister had no right to speak for country, to do anything, to even interfere in business, women's business, whilst he was still a Darnley woman.
Yeah, it's very complex in some ways, but I think the simplicity is that the sovereign Yidinji government is not the belligerent occupier, and as fictitious as it may be, this is something that I didn't make up. For example, well, like, you know, whether it's my name's Michael or Robert or Jeremy, whatever it is, that couldn't make it, right? For example. And so there had to be something that was created for the office of the Yidinji Nation for a man to step in or a woman to step in to act at that level of office. And the sovereign Yidinji government was created for that purpose by the likes of Gunjarabai and many others. And today the chief minister is Bumi Gimabara, and his father's father's father all the way. I mean, we've got irrefutable evidence. We had the genealogy. We had the whole lot. That is the highest you can get. So I think it's very important to remind people out there that that's how Yidinji works. That's how Yidinji rolls. And if someone, this nation has been... This office, for example, has been created so other people, other men and women, whether they hold Australian identities, French identities, can come here and use a Yidinji identity to support the tribe. And that's how simple it is.
You see, with law, standing at law, how many true blood Yidinji men are there out there? Proper, connect the line right down to the bottom to the last one. There ain't too many. So when they're talking about these connections, you know, I talk about Yidinji because I know it. I know the law. I know the protocols that are there. And as I was talking about the marriage protocol, when the woman marries, she marries out. And when they've got to be adopted back in to come back in unless the male dies and then come back, but they take a lesser role in the whole game. So it's very important to understand the repercussions then of these laws that are there. So if you come into this and not understand why the government was set up. Now, like you said, you didn't set the government up. I didn't set it up. It was set up by the elders. And by saying it's fake or belligerent or whatever it may be, to say it doesn't exist here will be an insult to those elders who have proper standing at law. And this is where the danger comes in, because once you start getting into tribal law, you're starting to talk about capital and corporal punishment, which are very serious offences. To offend the law, the one that's been here for the last 50, 60,000 years, to offend that is serious. There is capital punishment. There is corporal punishment. So I won't dare go there. That's why I couldn't comment about the mob down south, you know, what their law is, because I don't know it and I won't dare offend it. So I'm just saying to most people there, before you start commenting about the legitimacy of things, be very careful that you understand the tribal protocols. We may go into their territory and offend them, and we deserve all the punishment we get. So that's very important. Same when you come into our country. Like I just said earlier in the show there, that if people come into country that are not welcome, now, if they don't come in, they're a neighbouring mob that come in without welcome, well, they've got a problem with the spears and the sticks. You know, they're going to face punishment for that. So same across the board for everyone. You know, just like one of Gunjarabai's sisters, if she would have come back as someone from Darnley, and I was reminded, by the way, that it's Arab in proper language, but no one knows that. Most people understand Darnley Island is up near New Guinea, up in Torres Strait. If she would have come back and started interjecting or interfering with Yidinji business, she would have got a whaling. First of all, being female, she couldn't speak for country. So if she would have started talking about speaking for country, she would have got a whaling for that. And then starting to talk, because it's Darnley, her law now, interfering down here, it offends Darnley as well. So they should be giving her a whaling. as well as us giving a one for talking about country stuff that's got, so you've got no right to under tribal protocol. This is so easy to understand if you take the time to understand it and don't mix up Australia with our stuff, because the Commonwealth of Australia is where Indigenous Australians belong. Pauline Hanson, you know, Scotty Morrison, you know, Albanese, all of them are Australians.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, and thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and, of course, our friends at Bumabipra Media 98.7 FM. We'll be back after the break.
Here I am behind the prison wall, where nothing makes much sense at all. All the days roll into one. I sit and wait for night to fall. Someone's shouting, someone's crying. Now I really can't recall how it felt before they locked me up behind the prison wall. She traveled miles to come and see me. She brought the son I hardly know. He didn't smile, he didn't speak. Seemed like he couldn't wait to go. I longed to pick him up and tell him I'll always be there should he fall. Was he scared of me or scared to be behind the prison?
Yeah, welcome back. I think it's really important to stress that, these things are important. It's very rare that we would claim, like it would be difficult for anyone to claim to talk for tribal law, obviously within the office here, because we don't do that. It's purely administrative and official. And there is a design and a protocol in place, and that has been given by the creator. So this is how high that is. That model of governance is given from this high spiritual order.
It's a good point, Murumu, because you know you look at you keep talking about Australia, and of course you're not talking about the country. You're talking about the legal documents that describe it. Whenever I think of anything, as soon as the word legal comes to my mind, you think of walls like libraries full of legal books and words and so forth. And yet it's like a splinter of a tree compared to what depth sits within culture of the laws that have existed for so very long. And, you know, as you said, we're just administrative and we represent such a small part of that because we're just doing as we're told by that cultural law, which is far in excess of anything that Australia's capacity has.
Yeah, I mean, there is an event here that took place last week in the city of Ghimoi. I was asked if I wanted to speak. I mean, I said, no, the elders have already spoken, you know. So that's why, if it was to do from a political or legal point of view, absolutely, the Foreign Affairs Minister would have got up and talked and told that Australia is a belligerent occupier and anyone holding an Australian identity is a belligerent occupier. And that's a fact in law. Those things are, they're just persons and things. We know that, and they are fictitious. But they have real ramifications. So, you know, your words can hurt people. So we're very, very careful as to not offend. And in particular, the senior lawman of this land, which is Bumi, of course, one of them, I must say, and the house of the Black Wallaby, that's his particular line. There's other houses. So we have to be very wary about that. And I think as the SYG, we try and do our best not to offend anybody. So, Ganyara, I think this is... Yeah,
look, the Yidinji government was set up well before the office was actually here, well before people come along to it. So we had to set up this stuff going back 2011 or 12 is when it really started to take its shape. And we realised that we couldn't... there was no other Australian tribe to interact with. We couldn't do a deal with anyone, because we're the original owners. We were here from day one. We're still here doing our thing, and they know it. They knew we were still here. We were the sovereign nation that was here before Australia, and we're still here today. So we had to set up a paper world, like their paperwork. I ask everyone, where's the Australian tribe? You know, you say, oh, we're all Australian. Show me your tribe. Show me your country. Show me where you belong. No more. Most of them are all imports. And they really are. These people come into country, not welcome, by the way, not welcome. And would they be welcome if they had, say, would a tribal person, in correct standing, welcome Australia in? Or would they, no, we're all Australian, give us some money and I'll do a welcome, I'll do some song and dance stuff. So this is what I'm saying. Indigenous Australians have no right to welcome people into country that belong to someone else. Remember, coexisting sovereignties. Australians are Australians, you're dingy. And so this is where, like, Bumi, for example, correct standing, correct capacity to welcome someone into this part of the world here, but not Tableland. He can't welcome men up there.
And yet here's the sovereign Yidinji government offering a solution.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we're doing. You know, look with the visas that have now done. It's amazing that we are offering a solution to that problem.
Well, the solution is anyone can enter the Yidinji territory through the office, but not proper welcome to country, so they're not proper tribal. So, you know, like I said, Bumi can't welcome someone in up Tableland. Tableland can't welcome someone in here. Down here in Gimoi. So this is, we've got to understand the protocols of the tribe now, you know, how it works, how it operates. But the government has created well before, you know, people come along to this. When we were in a very small stage, it was created to allow this paper world to exist, to allow the Australians to be here without offending the tribal law. Because I said, under tribal protocol and law, if you trespass on country without permission, you'll get a spear or get a whaling, one or the other. Now, that's what I was saying. You had to come in with your cockatoo feather. Now, there's 200,000 people here or 300,000 people. There'd be bally cockatoos everywhere. They wouldn't have a white feather left because everyone had the other feather to come and say, can I be here? So we've made this government for a reason. So we don't destroy our cockatoos, for example, you know, poor buggers. So it was made back then to create a central point that's equivalent to the Commonwealth of Australia, a paper world for paper people.
And I think it's really important to stress that, you know, there are Yidinji men and women, for example, that don't support the government, and that's fine. We understand that. It's not the right time or it mightn't be even the right vehicle, and that's okay. That's something that, you know, is for everyone to make a decision on. We're not saying that you have to be a member of the Yidinji Nation and through the government and all that stuff. I think it's very – if I'm going to do that, then I'm no better than Australia. Because, you know, I'm just going to go, well, here it is, and I'm going to give you a birth certificate and then lock you up for it. You know, and this is how you go about doing stuff. So there has to be choice. But even within the levels of governance, there has to be choice. But it's something that the Yidinji Nation can be proud of because it is making huge inroads around the world, even to the point where the Centre for European Studies now is looking at Yidinji governance model through this SYG, when the International Monetary Fund, when people who are former advisors to these places and central banks and all those things are looking at what is happening right in this office. Not because we're deadly. This has got the blessing of the elders. And more importantly, the Most High, because if you're looking at Israel's journey, for example, or anyone else's journey, Romans 13 says that all governments are ordained by God. And what is ordained by God? It is the tribal governance protocols and model that we're talking about this morning and their ability to create this legal fiction called a government to administrate and help the businesses and everything else to settle and to secure the future.
Look, if you offend the spirits, nothing good will come. I tell you now, I've noticed that time and time again. I've noticed that with burial laws. Now, there's been a few offended over that, and nothing good has come to those people who have offended those old spirits where someone's buried off country. They've got to be buried on country. This is, otherwise you offend the old spirits that are there, and they'll make sure that justice is done to those who have offended it. So this is what I'm saying to everyone. Don't offend the old spirits. You don't have to believe in it or not. You know, people believe in God, whatever it may be, it's good. But believe me, those old spirits are out there, and you say, why is life getting so hard for me? Maybe you should stop and look at your actions. Maybe you have offended the old spirits. You know, these are all God's people and he takes them all back to where he's got to take them to. But they're still keeping an eye on country. If you want to offend country, you want to offend the old protocols, nothing good will come. So be very careful of what you do with your actions.
Yeah, I think that's very well in the history of this nation and those stories are there to remind people of you know, what it is to transgress the law and, you know, what it is to do the right thing. And I think most people that we've met have been quite honourable. I've met Yidinji people who have said to me, hey, look, I don't really agree with what you're doing, but keep going with it because, you know, someone needs to say something. And that could be for anyone, you know. And as we say, this is how we're doing it. We don't know everything, and that's fine. We can understand that. And if we need to be corrected, absolutely. There's always an opportunity to do that. But most people have been quite honourable and saying, hey, look,
oh,
we don't want to be part of it because of this, that and the other. Well, fair enough. If you've got a really good life and you've got a good wicket inside of the Commonwealth and you're feeding your family and you've got a number of places you're doing your businesses and, you know, you've got trade going on, that's really good. But when things go pear-shaped in the future, if they do, then we have to have this in even if it's sitting here at low, operating, when things do go wrong, then it's here to activate it and the nation can be prepared to cross whatever it needs to be crossed.
Oh, look, over the years, and I must say this, getting around, you know, we were travelling for a couple of years around country. You know, it's not a real big, enormous country like Australia. We were travelling around inside Yidinji territory. We've had a lot of people say to us, look, I'm doing really well in Australia. Now's not the right time for me. I believe that Yidinji will always be here, but now's not the right time for me to come in. I don't want to lose what I've got. And I can't blame them because, you know, you look at most Aboriginal people, most people have had nothing all along. They've actually been shot at and poisoned and whatever and herded into these missions, these open-air prisons. They've been herded in there and all of a sudden they're out and they're free and they can do stuff and get a few dollars together. They're not multi-billionaires, but, you know, they're doing quite well. They're comfortable. And they've said to us, look, we're happy where we are. And I always say to them, look, the door's always open. You can always come in at a later stage. It's never shut. If you've got proper Yidinji connection, you come in when you need to come in, but don't have to do it straight away. You don't need to drop everything. Just wait, just leave it where it is. But at the same time, don't offend that law that's being revitalised. Be very careful of what you do because you may offend those old people and all your money may get lost in that world of Australia, may get eaten up. You don't know what's going to happen. But look, as I said earlier, this was created well before a lot of people realised what was going on, before a lot of people started to get into it. And so it's not really us that created the government. This was the elders and their spirits, these old lawmen that sat together. And I've got video footage of this, you know, that people can see who was there at these law meetings, you know, who was sitting there at these conventions, these conferences. And sadly, most of them have passed away. A lot of them are gone. Some are still around. But you can see how the dynamics of these meetings were. The women had to sit on the outer ring. The lawmen themselves spoke. No one else, not the boys. The little kids didn't speak. Little boys didn't speak. You know, these were the proper men who had proper standing, who spoke and said things. So, yes, you know, it was a really interesting time. And that's created this paper world that most people cannot understand what we're doing. Australia know exactly what we're doing and they understand how and why we're doing it. And it's to save the poor Australians, you know. The welcome to country should be done by proper standing and capacity. Those who have proper standing, not an Indigenous Australian. Those who are seen through the proper tribe, that have revitalised their world.
Yeah, well, you know, I keep pointing out that when we talk about Australia, we're not talking about country, we're talking about the paper version of it, you know, what they've described on paper. And, you know, the sovereign Yidinji government is exactly the same thing, but behind us is a connection to country.
We have,
which Australia hasn't got.
Now, this is something that's very important that I must point out to everyone, you know, understand between the understanding of speaking for country and connection to country. Because native title is blurred. There's so much now. Everyone says, I'm connected to here, I'm connected to there. But that don't give you no right to speak. Remember, women have connection to apical ancestors. You know, like I said, Gunjarabai's sister had married out. She married to someone from Darnley. She had connection back to Yidinji, but she had no right to speak for country, even for women's business, while she was being seen legally through the Arab identity. She had to be adopted back in before she could have say. Her husband had to be adopted in before he could have any say, but he didn't have the same standing and capacity as Gunjarabai. This is very important. You may have connection to an apical ancestor. We all do, actually. And if we go back far enough, well, let's go right back to the very day one when humans were here. They just appeared. So we're all related to there. But in law, you may have connection to country, but you've got no right, because of marriage laws, to speak for country. And that was proven very clearly with Gunjarabai and his sister, Gilgal. Now, Gilgal, in her standing as Arab woman, because she married someone from up there, Darnley, she had no right to speak for Yidinji law. until Gundjarrabi brought her back in and her husband back in. So it's very, very important to understand all the laws and all the protocols. Now, only those who have proper, true connection to country can speak for country, and it's got to be through the male bloodline that's continuing. Now, we've got old uncle here. He just walked in, Bumi. He just come into the studio now, and I can tell you now 100% he has the correct male lineage all the way. There's no marrying out. He's not going through any female marriage law because he's coming down through the male lineage all the way inside Yidinja. He's the only one down here that I can see. There might be a few others, but he's the only one I'm talking to right now that has correct standing and capacity to welcome anyone to country or to talk about country, to speak for country, which is very important. Speaking for is totally different to connected to country.
And the other thing I'd like to add too, while Bumi's getting ready there, because he's got his coffee and his little port and his pen out and, oh, he's flexing elegant. the other thing too is that he holds the piece of paper that says he is the chief minister of the sovereign Yidinja government. So there's two different things there. There's one is if we were to cut his arm a little bit there and the blood come out and we take a sample of that blood, then we can go and go all the way back. And same with the piece of paper. If we follow the paper trail, it'll go and it'll be connected to that bloodline because that's the only way you can make it. And so this is a very interesting thing. Now, Bumi, we're talking about, people who can talk for country and things like that, because at Anzac Day there were some people that were saying welcome and some other people were booing them, and it wasn't a nice thing. But in a good way, they were probably out of their heart and trying to say, well, we all won and we welcome you in a tribal sense, you know?
Yeah, well, these things can happen. Culture is a very strong thing, and it's not a thing to be playing around with. And when we start tug-of-war, it's never going to work. See, when you come from these things, you know, if you're young, you better believe in it, you know. You go back on your waltz and disco, you just stay there. Hey, Uncle, I'm born from them thing, and you got to do them right when you go out, especially when you go up north way, you know. That you got to keep this culture going, and if you're going there to upsetting and Laura Festival dancing and all this and that, you know, you're making a big fool out of yourself, really. And you don't want to get behind anybody who knows about these things. And so you get to get more. It's not a easy thing. It's a good thing, but you need to come back to the elders now. And that's why I just walk along now, and you want to keep on what you're doing, that's up to you, you know.
Yeah, I think it's really important, Colin, that your way of doing things is very, very humble and kind, and most of the elders that we've spoken to had that wisdom about them, you know, and what the young people call aura these days. And that is this wonderful thing where we can come to you and ask you for something if we have a problem, or we can go talk to someone who's really good at, you might say, I'll go talk to that fellow over there, but if you're not feeling good, or you go talk to that person over there if you want to go fishing there or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's a very important thing for us. Yeah. And in a sense, that's what you're doing here today.
Yeah.
Because your father and your father's father was doing that this whole time, it's natural for you to do it.
Yeah. See, like when we go out, well, I took Gunja around a bit on Murumu and Yurulum got to come yet and I showed him these tracks, and they're real, you know, and they're really good to me, and where I've been camping and all this and that. See, Dad was training me up. He'd never tell Albert and Anthony what to do. He's telling me to go get that wood and water, you know. Now, when I get big, the cultural side of it, it's a powerful thing, and it's really good, and, you know, we can do shake a leg and all that and this and that and talk, but you're like an empty tin, you know. You got to live that life, really, and you don't get it in Woolworths, but it's a it's not hard to explain it, just that people say, well, it was in your days, you know. I said, well, our day were very good. It was strong and we had to listen. Today, they think it's, you know, you can do shake a leg. Oh, I'm going up here in the bus with mob of kids. Them thing, all right, we're going to really check it out, you know. Check yourself out with them, who you're taking and walking this road. Yeah, it's going to be a thing for kids today trying to take off, you know, that you're going to know these things. Well, we're not being bullied on sovereignty. That's, I am in sovereignty. That's what Dad, when he seen Gribble, he told Gribble, I don't need you. Didn't lot of you under me. And I went to court again today, the other day, and the judge gave me a nod, you know, and he asked who in the court, and they told him, and I was there. So everything went real good there. Yes, I feel real good that we went to sovereignty. I got more of a neck, you know, you're on me now, and you're on having a little body with me too, and that's good, you know. And I said to him, oh, that's good, he, you know, speaking up, then he know, you know, that, yeah, I mean, it's just leaving thing alone. I say to them kids, you know, you got to get beyond the elders yet, you still got to stay there, you know.
And I think it's very important that even when you're talking about that, Colonel, even though we are close to you, we can't exceed that power and authority. We can't claim, well, because we're with you, I can go talk and be culture man and tribal man. I can't. Mm-mm. But I'm going to ask you, who's the right person? Or how can we do this? How can we do that? Yeah. And that's a very important thing because we're not claiming to be tribal. We're just a government here.
You're
part of both. You can wear this, that. You can go here, walk that way. You can be called another name this side and this name here and chief minister here or Bumi there or Peter or someone else over that road, Johnny or Chrissy or whoever.
Yeah.
And that's a very important thing, is to know about the capacities, Ganyara.
Look, and that just brings me to another point that he just raised about elders. There's two people out there. There are those who are elderly that don't know the law, but then there are elders that know the law, know the original law as elders of the mob. So as Bumi says, he's I agree 100%. He's one of the more senior elders down here on the coast. That, like, I'm very mindful of that when I come down, because we're from Tableland way. I'm very mindful when I talk to this old bloke. This not an elderly old man. I talk to an elder, someone who holds law. And that's what he said. It was brought up in his life. You know, he was being educated by his father slowly, coming along. And now he understands that the protocols are there for a reason, and they're there not to be broken or breached. This is very important. That'd be like me coming down here, telling him what to do. Man, what punishment would happen there? There'd be a stick come out for a start. You know, whether it's a sharp stick or a blunt stick, we don't know, but a stick would come out. I can't tell him what to do down here. I cannot say that. I've got to respect his view and his opinion under the protocols and the laws that have been here forever and a day, that he understands, that his father understood, that his grandfather understood, that his great-grandfather are all passed down through the male line. This is very important. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Uncle, that women do not speak for country.
Women don't speak for country, no.
100%. Now, we've got documentation signed by the other elders going way back that women do not speak for country. This is where the men's role is, to defend the country. Yeah. This is so important about the marriage protocol. When you marry... When the woman, like Gunjarabai's sister, Gilgal, when she married that bloke from Darnley, she left Yidinji law. She had no right to speak back in Yidinji law. This is so important. She had to be adopted back in to have any say in it now, even though she's of direct blood lineage to the Possum family. Direct, I mean, you couldn't get any more direct, but the marriage law took her away. Adoption law had to bring her back.
But they couldn't exceed the tribal law or the authority and standing of the person that adopted them in.
Absolutely not, because he was the most senior lawman of Tableland. So, you know, Bumi here understands Gunjarabai, who he was, and how his connection to Tableland is, just like Gunjarabai understood who Bumi is down here. We couldn't come down here when we were doing our rounds. We went to everywhere inside Yidinji territory, over Yarrabah, we went down to Innisfail, we went everywhere to talk to them all that would come in to understand what we're doing, to create a government, to let Bumi now practice law at a lower level. He could, even though he was a lawman for the senior law, he could now enter into the paper world through his Yidinji identity, his paper legal identity to equal Australia. So in this part of the world, Bumi is the most, like in the office right here now, Bumi is the most senior one that I can see. Most definitely, because I cannot exceed him because he's the senior lawman that I'm seeing right now. And he understands that because of the law that was handed down. But at paper level, all paper stuff, all papers created equal. Just like Pauline Hanson, Indigenous Australian. You know, Bumi. He's not Indigenous Australian. He's now Yidinji. Totally different thing. Mm. We're not talking about Australia and Yidinji. We're talking about Yidinji, Yidinji. So that's why we can't talk about other neighbouring laws. We don't know their law 100%. So we've got to be very careful.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing that is in the design of the tribe. And each tribe has their own wonderful God-created, inspired level of governance to protect the society. And I can think of one story, and I'd often talk about the Holy Scriptures, because in that, one of the young descendants of Solomon, who was the king, became king at a very young age. And he pushed aside the elders' council and appointed his friends to give him advice, and they lost the kingdom. So these things are there. Stories are from all around the world about young people and, they had this wonderful, as we all know, he used to be young, energy and spirit to want to change and to leave our footprint on this earth. But there is a protocol on how to do that. And the way of the elders enhances your footstep, and it will resonate for years to come, if not thousands of years to come. The house of the black wallaby is here. The house of Billy Possum is here. The house of this one, the Mullumbarra mob, Jabaganji, Kunganji, they are still here today, and it is because of these protocols that the Yidinji Nation, through this government, is trying to protect to try and stop belligerent occupation to undermine all that and to confuse them with other introduced or foreign laws, let's say. And I don't have an issue with the Australian government. I don't have an issue with the Land Council or anyone else. But it's here to help all that sit correctly on this territory. And it's through the leadership of Bumi and many others, not just Bumi, because we can't just say it's him all the time. There are other men and women here, people who have died defending this place. And they would have been operating in the Australian realm, but their heart and their spirit was connected to country, and they could speak for country, even though they were holding an Australian ID or a nationality of a foreign citizen. But now there is both, and people can come in. This office is not just for the Yidinji tribe, it's for everyone who wants to support the tribe. They want to support Birrigubba or support Yuru or whoever it may be, Waka Waka. These are some of the governments that have taken on the governance model of the Yidinji Nation, because it is based on that foundation that has been designed from the most wise and the invisible, which is the creator. And it's here today standing. And anyway, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. We'll be back after the break.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm from Arnhem Land. My band is called Andrew Guru Band, and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We're just wrapping up now, and I know we're ready to go and get a coffee after this. I think it's just a wonderful thing. But I think important some final comments. Yirrlun, we might start with you first, what your thoughts are for the day or for this week.
No, just that ongoing offer from Yidinji. You know, we're here to settle the past and secure the future. Yeah, and it's so powerful a tool that the government is, that it can help do that. And it's here to help Australia work a way through it, because they're the one that's stuck. Yidinji is fine because it is connected directly to the cultural line. It has standing, it has its position in country, and Australia doesn't. So the Yidinji government is the solution.
Bumi, some final words for countrymen and for people listening.
Yeah, well, like Dixon, he went to Yoruba and he went to Grandad Dick Moses. See, the only language you'll speak, nothing else but Yidinji, you know. And that's a big thing. Dad and them had to hide, duck and weave, but when Gribble went there, they said, who's in charge? They asked that first question, who's in charge? They said, you're going to see Boa, he's there. You know, that's a big thing to Yidinji lot.
And who's Boa again, for people who don't know?
Charlie Hyde.
But who's that from your family? That's your grandfather?
Grandfather.
That's right.
So Charlie Hyde, Richard Hyde and Peter Hyde. But my real name, Bumi, after Dad, and his name, Bumi. I just want to, I'm missing something going again, eh? Getting anxious.
Yeah, about Dick Moses and how Gribble went there.
Yeah. So when Dixon went there, Dixon went to ask him, and so Granddad Dick Moses sitting under the tree, and he told him everything about his injury. Dad and them was there. So Dad mightn't talk language there, but he, when we got home camping, then he protected us. I grew up a little boy named Timothy Creed. I've been protecting him too. When he goes swimming and this and that, you ever talk to him, he'll tell you something too about protection, you know. That's why people today, you know, we really stand for people that help, because the court brightened me up again when I went there. He said, well, who's he? And I want to know. So Devin say, that fella, old fella there, he's in charge of that girl that his niece then. He said, oh, he gave a little, you know, nod. And that's a big thing, that when we come to Sodbury, I'll take Yurram and Murumu and Janjala here. You know, I really thank them that they pulled me back. I didn't know nothing, but I knew about culture, and I was that proud of sovereignty. That's where power's. You know, land rights got nothing, you know, that's trouble, that. Well, that's right what I'm saying, and it pulled me up anyway, but sovereignty is the way to go. Have a good day.
Ganyara, some final words.
And look, the one thing I'll say, and the old fellow here is dead right, don't offend the spirits, don't offend the law. I say to everyone, before you go and do anything, before you say anything, go and ask the mob. Go and ask your tribe, your mob, your nation. Say, look, what are the laws? What are the protocols? Don't assume you know them because you're an Australian. Don't assume you know stuff, because, like I said, there are women that can speak for country somewhere else, but not here. You know, so you don't offend the protocols. So go and learn them. That's the first thing you do. You learn before you know. You think I know everything, because you may offend the Great Spirit, and he will destroy your Australian world. You just don't know how it works. So like Uncle said, he's got the right connections to do it. Go and talk to someone like that. Say, hey, what about this law, that law? What about marriage law? What about death law? What about burial law? What about how we take turkey eggs? You know, when do we do that? Do we do it this time of the year or that time of the year? When do we do stuff? So don't assume you know it. Be very careful that you may offend it, because there are serious ramifications that are out there, you know. So go and talk to the old people who actually know the law. And that's the important thing. Don't assume you know it. Don't assume because they're elderly that they know the law, because they may be getting dementia. If they are getting dementia, they're not an elder all of a sudden, just an elderly person with dementia. So don't confuse the lot, you know, but you've got to talk to people who know it. And that's very important. That's something that should have been done many years ago. And I know Bumi here has learnt from his father, from his grandfather, from his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. It's all been handed down, not in books, not written out. They just know it. So just talk to people like that. Before you go and do Welcome to Country, you got to understand, hey, have I got the right standing and capacity to do that? Am I the right person to do it? Or have I been empowered by the right person to do it? This is the important part. Boys can do it. If the old people, the elderly, say, the elders say, yeah, you go forward on behalf of us and do it. But you got to have that permission to do it. Very important to understand capacity and standing. So don't offend the spirits by thinking you know it without knowing it.
That's it for today's program. Go Baragalanyuna, may God's peace be upon you in the almighty name of Jesus. And Jesus would have been a great Yidinji man, by the way, if he was here, because he upheld the law and hung out with the poor people and healed the sick and you know, caused the blind to see and everyone else. And that's what we're not as deadly as him, but all we're saying is we're just trying to do our best here to make sure that everyone's welcome and we can enjoy life.